Hello, y'all. How y'all doing? You know what I say with y'all? I just got back from Texas. You know they all say y'all out there? Yeah. All y'all and y'all. Anybody from Texas? Okay. Down yonder? Yeah. Okay. I have driven LA freeways all my life. Okay? They have nothing on Dallas freeways. Dallas freeways are psychotic. Okay? John and I would be going down the road, John would be navigating, Siri's talking, and we would find ourselves, okay, go left, go right, go left. And it's like, there's our hotel again. There's our hotel again. And they have these weird little loopy things at their off-ramps, and you get stuck into those, and you're in a lane, and you're just like, what is happening here? I was expecting Siri at some point to say, I give up, y'all. She didn't. You know, I mean, it was... I had never been on such crazy roads. They just wouldn't get along with us. Finally gave up, didn't get on the freeway again. We figured out how to do it on surface streets. All we were trying to do was travel like 4 miles. And once you got in the freeway, you were done for. My wife just came back from Haiti. She would be sitting back there, but she's not right now because she's home taking care of a grandchild, which is a wonderful thing. Makes her really happy. Now... Her Texan grand. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Texan grandchild, you're right. Oh, Lordy. He was born in El Paso by chance, but not by plan, only by chance. But she just got back from Haiti. Now, Haiti's a whole different situation. I drove in Haiti. We got a truck in Haiti at the orphanage, and I just got a truck, and so I've been driving in Haiti some. Now, Haiti's pretty simple. It's got one road that runs all the way around the edge of the water, and it's got one that heads in. I mean, you can't go too terribly wrong in Haiti, you know. You might pull into one of the little dirt paths on the side that lead up into some of the little communities, but once you get back on that road, you're either heading for St. Mark or you're heading for Port-au-Prince. You know, it's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it, you know. Dallas, whole other thing. You get to end up anywhere traveling around that place. Well, as God was talking to me while I was out in Texas and enjoying some good food, he was talking to me about paths and powerful pathways. And I started thinking, okay, God, what are you talking about? And the first scripture that I ran across was this scripture. If you want to, you're welcome to read your Bible, okay? I just want you to know, I'll tell you what the scripture is. It'll end up here. But just remember, if you pick up your Bible, and I tell you you need to turn to Matthew 7, 13 through 14, God may have something to tell you in 15, okay, that I'm not covering. So you have your permission, once you have your Bible open, to ignore me completely and to go into deep meditation. Now, if I see you doing that with the Bible in your hand, I'll know you're not asleep, but you're meditating on God's Word, right? Okay, good. Well, by the way, it really helps me if you agree, do this, okay? If you disagree, do this, okay? No tomatoes or anything like that. Just you agree, you disagree. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. You can disagree with anything I say, just don't disagree with God's Word. God's Word found in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road you'll find in Dallas, the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If you're a Christian, and if you grew up in the church, you've heard this many times, that there is a broad road to destruction. Makes Dallas freeways look simple. And you get on that thing, that road to destruction, and you can drive and drive and drive and drive, but you may never get anywhere. But there is a narrow road that leads to salvation. Now, qualifiers for being on the road. If you want to be on the road to destruction, what do you have to do? Nothing. You do it naturally. You sin. You are now officially on the road to destruction. Okay? If you want to be on the road to life, What do you have to do? Huh? Who do we believe in? Jesus. Okay. Okay, can you get on the road, on that narrow road, by doing lots of good things? Nope. Only through Jesus. Can you get on that road by giving lots of money to the church? No. No. Okay. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Can you get on that road by being very nice to your children and your wife? No. Can you get on that road by never lying, never cheating, never stealing, and following all of the Ten Commandments except for the first? All nine of them. See, because if you follow the first commandment, then you got it. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, you're on that road. You're on that narrow road. See, but the world would rather have you stuck on a Dallas freeway. The world would rather tell you there's a lot of different roads that you can get to life with, that you can spend a life in eternity that is a blessing to you. The world would want you to know that there are many different paths and many different roads that lead there. But Jesus, by the way, who said this in Matthew? Jesus. But Jesus says, it's a narrow road. It is not a wide road. It is a narrow road. Well, I'm making the assumption that most of you are here, most of you here, are already on that narrow road. Now, here's a secret for you to know. Nobody can kick you off of it. You're on it by God's grace. You'll stay on it by God's grace. And no matter what you do, God is going to continue, because he's even the author and the finisher of your faith. God is going to keep you on that narrow road to life once you have given your heart over to Jesus. That's all it takes. Give your heart over to Jesus. It's done. Sounds easy, doesn't it? The fun begins then. Because that's when life changes. That's when all your goals, all your objectives, all the things. Now, I'll tell you, it may be hot in Dallas, but it's not as hot as Haiti by any means. Okay? And in Dallas, I can find some great barbecue. Okay? In Haiti, I'm lucky to find food. Okay? So that narrow road is not always full of great and wonderful feasting and wonderful, wonderful stuff. Sometimes, in terms of what's going on in the world, that wide and that big road has much more to offer from our sense of understanding. But I believe that every Christian, once they enter that narrow road, then faces questions of paths. As we go down the road, we're going to have opportunities to go off on paths. And there are paths that run parallel to that road that can do good for us or can lead to dead ends. Some, just like in Haiti, you can get off on a side thing and it'll come up and it'll come in and it'll loop right back on and you're still heading the right way. Some you get on and dead end. So what I want to talk to you about today is the difference between dead end paths and power paths in your life. Okay? Proverbs 4. Again, if you want to open your Bible, you're more than welcome to. You can turn to Proverbs 4, 26 through 27. If you doubt, by the way, that you're on a path, I want you to think about it for a moment. Andy Stanley said this in his book, The Principle of the Path. The principle of the path is simply this. Everyone is on a path right now, whether we realize it or not. And the path is taking us each to a certain destination. The path we are on is not a respecter of persons. It does not care who you are or where you are from. It leads where it leads, regardless of one's talent, wealth, physical opportunities, or social status. We are all on a path. The question is, what path, where is that path going to take us? Now, we already know this. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've chosen him, he has said you are on the narrow road. Okay? So if you've done that, the paths determine how your life goes right here. Okay? All right, let me tell you a dead-end path. Well, no, let me read you this first. Sorry. Back up. Okay. Proverbs 4, 26 through 27. Ponder the path of your feet. This is the ESV, and I just love the ponder. Ponder, think about, plan, think about where my feet are going. Then all your ways will be sure. Don't swerve to the left or the right. Turn your foot away from evil. Proverbs 3, 6. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. See, God, as we go down the narrow road to eternal life, God wants to give us things. God wants us to experience things. God wants us to grow. But we have to think about what path we're going on, what side trips we're taking in this road as we travel it. Getting all my analogies here? These are analogies. Don't go for deep, deep theology here, but, you know, these are analogies. Let me talk to you about four sets of paths that are dead end and power paths, as I call them. All right, dead end path number one, good intentions. All right, finish the sentence. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Who said it? Boy, I did some research on that. As near as we can figure out, it was like an 11th century monk. It's one of those things that, you know, has been passed down for so many years. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You ever hear childlike promises? My grandson, who is 16, has promised me repeatedly that I'll take care of the dishes, Papa. Okay, I should put a sign up above the sink that says, "I'll take care of the dishes, Papa." Now, his idea of taking care of the dishes is see how high they can pile, okay? But his intentions are good. He wants to do it. Or you ever hear the little one? "I'll be good, Mommy. Can I have some ice cream? I'll be good. I promise I'll be good." Ah! You know, and off they are running just a little while later. It's not that the intentions are bad. Because they are what? Children. They're childlike. So they make childlike promises. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, the 11th through the 13th chapter. And I do a lot of scriptures today, so good luck if you're keeping up with me here. But Hebrews 5, 11 through 13. "We have much to say about this." This is Paul talking. "But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer even try to understand. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." See, it's not that you get into the Christian life and you think to yourself, "I don't want to learn about God. I don't want to study my Bible. I don't want to know more. I don't want to come closer to Jesus. I don't want to come closer to God." It's your intentions never match up with your actions. Isn't that true? I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm perfect. So I don't know much about this. Okay? Yeah, right. See, those. It's so much easier just to drink milk than it is to chew meat. But here you go. So the dead end is good intentions. The power path is seeking. Verse 14 of that same Hebrews, Hebrews 5, verse 14. "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." By constant use. I use the word seeking because it represents what we need to be doing with God. "Seek first the kingdom of God." Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added to you." Is there anything else to seek than God's kingdom and his righteousness? No, because he's going to give it to me. And there's some of you that are in the back of the head going, "Yeah, right, let's see him pay my rent." Well, I can tell you stories. I can tell you many stories. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Oh, we know this one? Oh, but it requires we do something. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receive. Those who seek, find. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. What do all of those things have? Ask, seek, knock. They require we have more than good intentions. They require we do something. All right? Let's be frank. Y'all should get up off your butts and do something. Okay? And I'm part of all y'all. Texas is so much fun. All right. Good intentions versus actually seeking. That's the number one thing. Dead end path. Number two. This one's been around for a long time. This particular dead end path, I can best call it shortcuts. Okay? Everybody wants a shortcut to eternal life. Jesus came and gave that, by the way. Everybody wants a shortcut to the things they want in life. I call it the grab the golden apple mentality. Or let's get rich quick. Now, we see it a lot. All you got to do is go stand down at Vaughn's Express for a while. Just lean back, kick back over there by where they got all the chickens, and watch that lottery machine. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And I'm not saying it's evil to buy a lottery ticket. There's somebody, I don't know who they are, but every week when they give their offering, they put a lottery ticket inside with it. I think it's a blessing. I think it's wonderful, you know? I don't know. Maybe they buy 10 and give us one. I don't know. I don't really care. I just think it's a blessing. And every once in a while, we'll scratch it off. And, oh, there's $2. And we'll run down and get them. Or more frequently, we'll scratch it off. And, oh, you've won a ticket. And then you go pick up the other ticket and you haven't won anything. So they can give away millions because that's the way it works. But the whole grab the golden apple thing, you know who started that? There were these people wandering around this garden. Let me tell you about them. In Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the word? Now let me tell you, did God really say? That is what is called scripture twisting. In other words, they take something God said and let's twist it around a little bit so that it says something a little bit different. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the snake, she knew God's word, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden and you must not touch it or you will die. And immediately Satan comes back with, oh, you will not certainly die. That's not God's motive for telling you that. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. And you, yes, you, will be like God, knowing good from evil. And the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food. And the woman saw that it was very pleasing to the eye. But now get this, you got to grab this next part. And also desirable for gaining wisdom. I can be as smart as God. Wow. She took some of it and ate it. Big dummy standing beside her also did the same thing. Okay? She fell for the devil's lies. We'd never do that, would we? We would do better, wouldn't we? No, we wouldn't. See, grabbing the golden apple means I want everything. And I want it now. I want to know all. I want to see all. I want to be in charge of all. I want it all. God says in Proverbs, this isn't up anywhere, God says in Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death. I just run that one through my head all the time, and then I crack God's word open. Here's the power path. The dead end road is shortcuts. The power path is God's wisdom. And finding God's wisdom. How many of you have ever done the exercise of reading a proverb, a chapter of Proverbs a day for a month? Because they happen to coincide in the number of Proverbs to go along with the number. Okay? Did you come away shmada? Did you find things in there you didn't know? See, I did this a whole bunch with my grandson. And every time I would go back and read it, I would find something else. So let me give you a challenge. Choose your day of the month. What's tomorrow? 20th. Open to chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs and read it tomorrow. And see what God tells you, what kind of knowledge he gives you. See, the power path is wisdom. And there's two things that give us wisdom. First, the word lights our paths. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light in my path. All right, you're out in the dark of the woods. No moon, no stars. Just one of those dark, dark nights. You're in your tent. You hear something moving outside. What's the first thing you grab for? I knew it, gun. First, I grab for the flashlight first and then the gun so I know what I'm shooting, okay? I got the same response at the first service, like gun. But I hadn't thought of them. Like, oh, yeah, of course. Okay. She came from Texas. I should have realized that. They were walking around with guns in their hips. Have a power failure in your house? You're sure you know the way from your bed to that cabinet that's got the candles in it or the flashlight? You're sure you know that way. Is that path always unobstructed? No. Do you ever really hurt yourself? Yes. My mother, my dear mother, I will never forget this, when I was a teenager, was reorganizing. And in the little utility area we had, she decided that she should stack these dishes there. Well, lights went out, and I fix everything. And so, you know, Scott, get the flashlight. Yes, ma'am. Bam. Over top of those dishes. I felt so bad. I also cut myself, but that's beside the point. Without the light of God's word, I guarantee you, you're not going anywhere without hurting yourself. Are you in God's word? Ask yourself that question. Are you in God's word? Go for it, Jayla. Bye. It's tough. If I had to listen to me too, I'd react that way. So I'm surprised you're not all running out of here crying. So the word lights up our path, but there's also another way that we're led. The Spirit leads us. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. The Holy Spirit, okay, we're getting theology here. The Holy Spirit leads you at whose direction? Come on, work on your theology here. The Father's direction, okay? Catch this one. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Who leads Jesus? God the Father. What's the vehicle? Holy Spirit. See, we, if you are a follower of Christ and you read the Bible, you are a believer in a triune God. One God showing himself in three different entities, three different persons, however you want to describe that. I was at a conference here in Texas, and they were talking about a marriage conference. They're going to do the XO marriage conference. And I had never seen such a clear illustration of how marriage should work. He just did such a great illustration by having people coming walking out in character. You know, if we believe in God, we believe in a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Spirit couldn't come until the man Jesus returned to heaven to sit at the Father's right side. We believe that the Father directs the work of the Spirit. here on earth right now. But these three constitute one entity we know as Jesus. Excuse me, as God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In a marriage, how many is a marriage between? Three. It's between a husband, a wife, and whom? God. This is the covenant of marriage that we make. That's why we stand up in a church rather than going to a civil marriage. Oh, can you have a civil marriage? Yeah, you can. But if you have a godly marriage, you're going to find that in the middle of it, God is standing holding you together. And the closer you both come to that. And just as that reflects the God shows his triune nature, so a marriage shows its triune nature. Who's the head in a marriage? Come on, you can get this. God. Simple as that. Did these three, they have all their roles? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yeah. Do these three, do they all have their roles? Yeah. Does that make anybody any less? No. Does that make any of those any less God? No. Get a grip on that, you get a grip on marriage. But anyhow, I won't give you the whole exo marriage conference right now. What I want you to understand is that you have two choices between a shortcut, a dead end of shortcuts, or seeking God's wisdom. Will you seek God's wisdom? Will you do that this week? Tomorrow. Come on, Proverbs 20. You can do that. All right, let me give you another dead end path. This dead end path we encounter quite frequently. Here you go. Dead end path, pleasure. Okay, I want you to think two words here now. Pate and TGIF. Okay? Because they sum it up. Living for the weekend. I'm going to pate. I'm going to watch the Cubs beat the Mets today. Okay. I love the way the Message puts this. Philippians 3, 17 through 19. I love the way the Message Bible does this. Stick with me, friends. This is Paul talking. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. In other words, hang with the people that are heading the same place you're going. Where are we going? To eternal life. Keep track of them. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I have to do it again. All they want is easy street. Golden apple. They hate Christ's cross. I'd rather there be some other way than Christ's cross. But easy street is a dead end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods, their belches their praise, and all they can think about is their appetites. Wow, pleasure. All they want is pleasure. Now, do you notice Paul uses the word appetites there? Okay. Do you know what the biggest driving appetite is that you have? Do you? Your sexual appetite. And that's why sexual sin is so prevalent. Because that's the appetite that people want for their pleasure, for the dead end street of pleasure. Taking something that God made good and turning it into something else. So the dead end path is seeking pleasure, okay? The power path, you won't like what I say next, okay? Your immediate reaction is going to be, okay? The power path is discipline. What? Who loves discipline? All right, here's a word I have for you. Work on it. See, discipline is God's loving accountability for us. And I can't put it better than Hebrews puts it. Hebrews 12, 5 through 13. And write that down, Hebrews 12, 5 through 13, because you want to go back and read this, because you wrestle with God disciplining you, and you can't understand how Romans 8, 28 can talk about all things work together. All things work together for the good, but what about when I lost my job? What about when Aunt Mary died? All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. All things? All things. Listen to discipline. Hebrews 12, 5 through 13. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement? Take that. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? So here's the word of encouragement. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. This is words of encouragement. Because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. You should be happy God disciplines you. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Who wants to be a son and daughter of God? Discipline's part of the package, guys. Moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Anybody been through boot camp? You loved discipline when you were done, whether you realized it or not, because discipline saved you after you got out of boot camp. You know, but nobody likes it going into boot camp. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled. In other words, you're not going to trip and fall on your face, but rather be healed. Power path is to accept God's discipline. No. I'm wrong. You don't want to accept God's discipline. You want to embrace God's discipline. Please, make me your child. Please, discipline me, God. I want you to discipline me. On my own, I'll wander around and get in trouble, and I'll be childlike. And I'll do dumb things. I need you. Please, God, discipline me. We talked to Alessandra about that idea. It's just, you know... Yeah. Okay, so we had our paths, pleasure versus discipline. Okay, I'm not supposed to seek pleasure, I'm going to seek discipline. We'll read Proverbs 20. Okay, dead end path, the next one, here you go. You're going to go, this really? Is this a dead end path? You're going to like this one. Dead end path, happiness. Don't worry, be happy. Give me life, give me liberty, give me the pursuit of happiness. It's my right as an American to pursue happiness. I need happiness. I just want to be happy. I just want you to be happy. All right. Someone please define for me one simple question. If you can answer this for me, okay, I will agree that happiness is a good goal. How much money does it take to be happy? I like the zero back there. Because that's the correct answer. Is there ever enough money? No. Ask Donald Trump. I don't know. He's still working to get more. Doesn't seem to be enough. I don't get it. Ask Hillary. She doesn't know. She's still working to get more. Is there ever enough of anything? Here you go. But 2 Timothy 3, 1-7 says, but mark this, you make note of this, you put this down. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Got to love yourself before you can love anyone else. Be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Boastful, proud. what I've accomplished, man. It's pretty cool. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. If the world can convince you that there is a road to happiness and you just need more of something to get it, you'll chase it. That's what it's saying. And in these end times, you'll chase it. See, you don't need happiness, okay? Because you can't find happiness. You can't grab happiness. Happiness is elusive. It's a butterfly. It flies away just as soon as you think you've got it. Or if you grab hold of it, it crushes and dies. And then you have to seek a different happiness. The power path is truth. All right, who's famous for saying these words? What is truth? Anyone know? Pontius Pilate, good answer. John 18, 37, 38. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I'm king. In fact, the reason I was born, came into this world, is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for the charges against him. See, Pilate looked into the eyes of truth. Jesus is truth. Thomas said to him, John 14, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pilate looked into the eyes of truth and saw that he was so much more than a king, so much more than one who had access to all pleasures, so much more than had access to all power on earth. But he was truth. The answer hasn't changed since the moment we walked in here. It's still exactly the same. The answer is Jesus. And if you think it's anything else, you're going to have an interesting path. But you're going to hit a dead end. And as long as you remember to keep your focus on Jesus, as long as you remember to give your life that way, you can go down power paths. So there's four power paths, and I've kind of put them together into a little thing that we're going to use in a program that we're going to be starting in the new year to help people who are seeking renewal, which should be all of us. And that first one is seeking renewal, taking an action. Not being stuck in this world of good intentions, but taking an action. See, because God wants to renew you because he wants to set you free in the truth. He wants to set you free in Jesus. He doesn't want you to be pursuing happiness. He wants you to be pursuing him. In that, you will find true happiness. He wants to guide you by wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit and his word. This is what he wants for you, not to be guided by what the world thinks is good and what everybody else thinks is right or what your appetites drive you to, the pleasures that you would seek. And finally, he really, really, really wants you to embrace discipline. Oh, we don't like discipline. But if you will change your attitude towards discipline, if you will embrace God's discipline, if you would say, yes, prove to me that I'm your child, Lord, discipline. Prove to me that you're my child, or that I'm your child. Discipline me. If you will make that attitude shift in your mind, Oh my gosh, the doors had opened. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. If you will give up yourself, let God discipline you. Let God lead you. Let him guide you. Let him renew you. And let him do it all in the power of Jesus. That narrow road you're on to eternity is going to be a lot nicer. You're going to get there because Jesus has already guaranteed that on the cross. The question is, how are you going to take that path? And he doesn't leave us just to do it on our own. He gives us the power to do it. You read nothing else tomorrow. Even if you forget Proverbs 20 tomorrow. Read Ephesians 6. Try to do it every day and put these words into your mind because they're the power that can change every day's life. A final word, Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil, that liar who came to Eve in the garden and said, did God really say that? For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in an unseen world. Yes, they really exist. Demons exist. Against mighty powers in this dark world. And there's evil people with evil intentions. Against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Battles going on in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows, the lies, the misdirections that come from the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Not just when things are going bad, but when things are going good. When you're being disciplined, when you're being hugged. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray for each other. Let's do that. Father, thank you. We do come today and we pray for you to discipline us. We want to know that you're there. We want to feel you. We want that sense of security that you give us. We know your discipline is designed to make us more like you. Designed to bring us to a place where we can rely more on you. Renew us, Lord. Use your Spirit to guide us and your Word to teach us. Let us know the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us live in it, Lord. Exalt in it every day. And help us, Lord, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to love each other with the same passionate heart that Jesus took to the cross as a sacrifice for us. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.